You know, it's so funny. I sit there, and I'll tell Dusty, I'm cold. And then today, I'm hot. I looked at him, I said, I know you're going to laugh, but I said, what is it sitting on? The thermostat. But you know what? When you know you're going to come up here, you do get a little bit warmer than when you're just sitting down there. So anyway, well, I want to tell you something. And I do think you're in for a treat today. And it's not because of Wanda. I just want to tell you what I went through to get to this place, to let you know why we're in for a treat today. How about that? Amen. Because we're going to be doing some exposing today, and we're going to be taking up some of the enemy's ground, I believe. I know this Sunday is set aside by Pastor for me to teach on prayer, and this is on prayer, and I really appreciate that. I don't take it lightly that he allows us to do that. But, you know, God spoke to him, and he said prayer is a priority at Christian Growth Center. So he's honoring those words, and thank God that he is. But, you know, typically I know ahead of time what I'm going to share, and I thought I did. And then yesterday morning it kind of got changed, and I didn't have a whole lot of time yesterday morning to spend on it because we had a family thing to go to. And then I tried to get in it yesterday evening, and I just don't function well in the evenings when it comes to something like that. My mind's too full. So I got up at 5 o'clock. I want y'all to know I got up at 5 o'clock this morning. Give me a little pity, you know. Rub my back a little bit. But I said, dear God, I don't usually am at this, like, down to the wire, knowing what you're going to do. And so I get up, and I proceed on, and I think I'm going along with what he gave me yesterday. And man, my mind was going boom, 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 boom. And I said, okay, that ain't right. And then I move in another direction, and every bit of that would have been wonderful. But there was a heaviness in my heart. You know, because I'd asked God for a word for you all. I said, God, I don't want to just give them something. I could give you any scripture, and it would be absolutely wonderful. But God knows what you've been praying about.
Yes.
He knows what's on your heart. And, you know, so I said, God, I want a word from you. Well, I mean, it's 7:45. I was cutting it close, wasn't I, Gene? I said, so I text Teresa. I started to put help in these big letters. But anyway, I said, when y'all get ready to do class today, would you please pray for me that I know what I'm going to share this morning? And, of course, when I started praying, prayer is just absolutely wonderful. Isn't it amazing that we can talk to the creator of the universe? And he will respond on our behalf. Amen. The heartfelt prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic, and it's working. They had a heartfelt prayer for me. Well, I understand Kelvin was dealing with a little bit with the same thing Wanda was dealing with. And so I said, okay, God, there's some things stirring. And I really realized that the enemy just really didn't want me to share what I'm sharing with you today. And I don't like giving him credit. But I'm going to let you know, if you'll grab hold of it, you know, it's like Daisy Ayers used to say. She said, we're going to give him, she said, I want to give him a black eye. Y'all remember Daisy? So we're going to give the devil some black eyes today. And that was exactly where the battle was coming from, was because of what I'm going to share with you. But prayer is amazing. And it all comes out of relationship. And if you're having a hard time with praying, you need to look at two sources. You need to look at your life and just see where the struggle's at, because it's out of relationship. And I can guarantee you it's some accusations of the enemy probably coming to you to take you out of that place of prayer. Or you can look and see if the enemy is wanting to distract you through circumstances. Because you know what? He hates prayer. Wouldn't you hate it if you were the devil and you knew Gene could go, because of the blood of Jesus, not because of your works, could go and talk to the creator of the universe and move mountains and change situations, if I was the devil, I'd want to do everything I could to stop you. We need to understand who our enemy is. Okay. God, we thank you. We thank you for the opportunity to share your word today. Father God, I just thank you for your anointing that's in this house on your word. And Father, I just thank you for revelation flowing today. God, we need revelation on what we're going to share today. And so I just thank you, Holy Ghost, you open up the eyes of our understanding so we can see clearly and take a stand that you need us to take a stand in this time that we're in. And I just thank you for filling my mouth with your words. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, I'll tell you what I was dealing with the most was what I felt like the Lord wanted to share with you was a chapter in this book from Jerry Savelle called From Devastation to Restoration. But I was basically going to have to read the chapter. I've never done that before when I've ministered. I've read comments and stuff, but I felt like the Lord was saying, read the chapter. I thought, I can't do that. I just did. I thought, Lord, are they going to listen to me reading this chapter? Well, after I got everything all said and done and got it settled, and I'll tell you what I was dealing with, and I bet none of you in this room deal with this. I was dealing with, what are they going to think? Are they going to think I didn't study and I just picked a book up and was opening it? Seriously. You know, that's one of the major tools the enemy uses to keep you from, you know, walking out the will of God for things that he says to you and whatever. So after I settled myself down, I said, okay, God, I'll read the whole book if you want me to. I just don't think nobody will stay that long. And then I even said, and y'all go laugh at this, I said, okay, Lord, let me learn from this. And I said, the next time, I said, if you ask me to sing the sermon, I'll sing it. And then I thought, no. I did say that. Because you know what? Hush. But you know what? We limit God. We put him in boxes and say, it's got to be this way or no way. I remember hearing the story one time of, it was a book on revival, and they were having a meeting in a church, and this woman just had this impression in her heart. Well, first of all, there was a table in front of the altar, you know, one of those long, kind of like a communion table, but, you know, you can set flowers on it, long table. And she had an impression in her heart to go up there and smack it. And she said, I can't do that. They're going to think I'm crazy. But you know what? Praise God. I guess, you know, we all want to do what God wants us to do. And it doesn't determine his love for us, but we want to do that. So she went up there and she smacked that table and she said, and then that book, they said, the Holy Ghost just fell. And revival started in that church. So, you know, when God tells you things, like stand before 30 people and read a chapter or whatever it is, you know what? If you got a piece about it and it won't go away, just go for it. You know, that who else does he use but us? Who else does he use but us? So here I am. And in fact, we got a little bit more than a chapter to read. I'm going to, and let me tell you what we're going to talk about. See that sign over there? Restore, restore, restore. I think God has challenged me. He said, how serious did you take those words that were spoken, I guess, what, 3 years ago now? Probably, maybe four. Anyway, when Pastor was set in, Pastor Todd was set in as pastor, and Brownie Bounds said, she said, that will be what? Your battle cry. Restore. but a battle cry. Not just three little words to say, but a battle cry. And when do you give a battle cry? When you're facing an enemy. And it's like, you know, natural battles, it's charge. But with us, it's restore, restore, restore. So can you see why there was a challenge to this? First thing we're going to do, and I'm going to expound on that as we go along. First thing we want to do is look at a scripture, and it's Luke chapter 4, verse 18 through 21. And you can do the Amplified, please. And a certain ruler asked him, "Good teacher, you who are essentially and perfectly morally good, what shall I do?" No, Luke 4, please. Verse 18. That's a good scripture, but didn't fit. Okay, this is Jesus speaking, and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me, the Anointed One, the Messiah, to preach the good news, the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to announce release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to send forth as delivered those who are oppressed, who are downtrodden, bruised, crushed, and broken down by calamity, to proclaim the accepted and acceptable year of the Lord, the day when salvation and the free favors of God profusely abound." Then he rolled up the book. I'd love to have been there. He rolled up the book. He gave it back to the attendant. He sat down, and the eyes of all in the synagogue were gazing attentively at him. And he began to speak to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled while you are present and hearing." You know, he's talking about us. He was talking about us. He was proclaiming that he was the Savior. He didn't use those words. But he said, "I've come to preach the good news, to announce release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind." Have you ever felt captive? Have you ever felt like you couldn't see? I'm not talking about physical eyes, spiritually and however. Have you ever felt like you needed to be delivered from something? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ever felt oppressed? Downtrodden? Bruised? Crushed? Broken down by calamity? Sure, we've all experienced that. But he rolled up the book. He gave it back to them, and he sat down, and he said, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled while you are present and hearing." So I say to you, today this scripture has been fulfilled while you're present and hearing. It has been physically, really fulfilled. When Jesus went to the cross. Everything. So, that scripture is why we can cry out, "Restore, restore, restore." If you need a scripture for that, in my, what God has given me for this today, he said, "This is your scripture." Because that was all restoration. Is it not? It's all restoration. I've heard Joyce Meyer say that when a person gets born again, God starts right then and there to bring restoration in their life. And I believe that. And I've witnessed that. I've experienced that some. But what we're going to learn today is we do have a part to play in the restoration. And if we don't play that part, It's going to take a whole lot longer to be restored. But if we play that part, I'm telling you, we can put like plugging into a socket and the current starts flowing and things start happening. We play our part and things will start happening. And there will be a rapid place of restoration in your life. And part of it is because of the times we live in. Y'all know Billy Brim. There was a man who was associated with her ministry called Gary Wood. And he had a car wreck and really should have died. And he has passed away. But anyway, in that car wreck, he should have died and he went to heaven. And when he was in heaven, before he came back to earth, God told him, he said, before my son returns, there's going to be an outpouring of restoration, prayer, and miracles before my son returns. So we need to be cooperating. Amen. With that. Do you ever say, come, Lord Jesus, come? I do. Come, Lord Jesus, come. And so today, we're going to talk about the restoration part. And of course, if you get the restoration, you're going to get the miracles. But to get the restoration, you need to be praying too. You see how they all fit together? And God has said over this church, what? Prayer is a priority. We're a house of miracles. And restore, restore, restore. It can't get no plainer than that. We just have to embrace it and say, okay, what do we do? All right. Let's get started. Jerizabel's book, From Devastation to Restoration. And one thing that he says in here is you got to get tired of the devastation instead of tolerating it. If any of you, you don't have to answer. If any had anything go on in your life so long you've become so conditioned to it that you just kind of put up with it? Something in your life? Something in how somebody's treating you? Okay, I hope you get shook up today. We're going to get shook up today. Turn to Job chapter 22, verse 28. This is the beginning of what we're going to learn is our part in the place of restoration. Isn't it good of God to have Brownie say to us, your battle cry is restore, 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 but then now back it up a little bit, give you some oomph to do that, give you some scripture background, you know, whatever. Job 22, verse 28. You shall also... Wait a minute, let's give him time to bring that up. You shall also decide and decree a thing. And what happens when you decide? First, you got to decide. Then, what do? Decree. And then, what happens? It shall be established for you. And then, what happens? The light of God's favor will shine upon your ways. There's a step there. Sometimes we just rattle off scripture, and I mean, I do that as much as anybody. But then you look at that, and it's like, okay, some of you today are going to have to make some decisions. Okay? You're going to decide what you're going to continue to happen, or what you're going to stand your ground on, and stop. God has heard every prayer that you've prayed in that situation. I promise you, He has. But because He's put this on my heart and given me the opportunity to minister this today, for some of us in this room, He's saying, okay, now you got a part to play in this. So some of you, you can write it down. I got to make some decisions after today. And then we're going to learn as we go along about the decreeing part. Okay? And He's going to teach you how to do that. Because you can say out of your mouth, restore, restore, restore. Now, if you mix faith with that, great. But if you get mad at where you're at, that's what's going to take. Then you're going to cry out. God, you said, if I decree a thing, it shall be established. If I decide and decree a thing, it shall be established. And you know what really we're doing in this? Is learning how to honor Jesus. And what he's done. Because without what he's done, we wouldn't even be here. So you decide, you decree a thing, it shall be established for you, and the light of God's favor will shine upon that place. And I'm going to read you a little bit out of his book. He says, in Job it says, thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established. He goes on and says, did you know this? That's a spiritual law. Giving's a spiritual law. Praying's a spiritual law. I mean, we can name off different things. But that's a spiritual law. Just because you found it in the Word doesn't mean it's going to happen. It'll happen when you begin to decree it. Did you hear that?
Yes.
It'll happen when you begin to decree it. How many times have we read something in the Word and said, oh man, that's great, I love that. Even pray it. And that's all good. But God's showing us today, we got a part to play in this whole picture. This is, you know what, God, this is God's method of operation. He spoke it, then he saw it. And it's the same thing for us. Whoops, sorry. We speak it, and then we'll see it. We agree with him, we speak it, and we say it. Because once you begin to decree it, then you're giving God the legal right to confirm it with signs following on your behalf. I'm going to read this next scripture to you. It's Isaiah 42, 19 through 20 and verse 22. For sake of time, I'm just going to read it to you. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Seeing many things, but thou observed them not. Opening the ears, but he heard not. This is a people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes, and they are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey, and none delivereth for a spoil, and none will say, restore. You can take that verse and you study it. But it says that these people are robbed and plundered. Every person in this room has been robbed and plundered. Because we got an enemy. If you don't think you have been, you are really deceived. They're hidden in prison houses. You know, people are in prison. A house is not just a physical house. They're prey, and none delivereth, because they don't say restore. And the verse up above that says, they see many things, they observe not. Opening the ears, they don't hear. God's saying to you today, hear. Listen. I'm giving you an answer. It's that way every Sunday. Don't misunderstand me. It's that way every Sunday. Every time you hear the word, you've got an answer. He said, notice the word restore. Highlight it. Underline. This is in this book. He said restore was a new thing that they were talking about. You know, for us in here, if you've never heard anything about restoration, that's a new thing that you're hearing today. You may not even have ever thought that God wanted to restore anything to you. That if when it was lost, it was lost. God is saying, there's something I want to do, and before it comes to pass, I'll tell you about it. But if you're going to be a recipient of this new thing, then you've got to have hearing ears. We have to have. In this day and time, we have to have hearing ears. We do. Hearing ears. He says, do you have ears to hear? I'm not talking about those connected to your head. I'm talking about ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. We always should pray when we come in here on Sundays or when we listen to a message or whatever. God, give me hearing ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to me in this. If you don't have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying, then you're going to wind up being robbed and wind up living below your privileges as a child of God. Once again, God's people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. And it's not because God's not giving knowledge. There is an abundance of knowledge. In fact, the book of Proverbs, it says wisdom is crying out in the streets. God's talking in every way he possibly can. And man, the avenues that we have today to hear the word is tremendous. He says we have access to 24-hour Christian television, programs, magazines, and tapes. Then there's the internet. There's no excuse for a believer having a lack of knowledge. As Proverbs says, you simple ones, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? God is saying, I want to do something new, but I have to have somebody listening so I can tell it to them, and then they must decree it. You know, God's wanting to do that in your own personal life. He's wanting to show you something new. He wants you to listen, and then what does he want you to do? Open up your mouth and decree it. Decree it over your work. Decree it over your family. Decree it over your neighborhood or wherever. He just wants you to listen. And once they decree it, then it gives me legal right to do it in their behalf. And if you don't receive anything else today, if you don't write anything else down, write that down. That when you decree something, it's a spiritual law, and it gives God the right to move in on your behalf and bring it to pass. Verse 22 says, and none says restore. And then verse 23 says, who among you will give ear to hear this? What's God saying? I'm wanting to do something new. And that new thing he wants to do is restoration. You have bukus of stuff, if I can use that word, that the enemy has stolen from you. You've just forgotten it. Or didn't realize it was the enemy. You may have even blamed God on it. Before you knew any better, we've probably all done that. Do you know how much bukus is? A lot. Y'all were kind of drifting on me. I had to get you away. He says, the new thing God's wanting to do is restoration. He said, I'm ready to restore everything the adversary has stolen from you. I'm ready to turn devastation in your life into restoration. But I must have someone declaring restoration. That's the key. I must have somebody doing that. And do you now, those of you been here a long time, aren't there some things that need to be restored here? Right here? People, gifts, talents, finances, buildings. And guess what? That's our responsibility too, because this is our family. What about you? Will you be the person God's looking for? How badly do you need restoration in your life? And if you need it, then start decreeing restoration in your home right now. You receive that? All right, this is the little chapter, and it's called Changing the Atmosphere. And really what you're going to do is change the atmosphere in your home. Okay? And in your business, in here, I mean, this should be a word that comes out often in here. Really? I mean, we should look at each other and say, man, restore, restore, restore. Aren't you excited about what God's going to restore to Christian Growth Center? God, we call for restoration. We call for the things that have been stolen from this place. I mean, it's our right, it's our duty, it's whatever you want to call it. You know, we've all prayed a lot, and we've all said, why? Haven't we? Why, God? Why not this change, and why not that change? And so we're learning a little more to the process of, you know what? You decree it. You cry out for restoration. Now, here's a story about Jerry Savelle I think y'all really like, his grandson. I've shared a little bit of this, but I don't think I've ever read it. He said, my oldest grandson, Mark James, is my preaching buddy. Now, this was when he was small. This book's probably, I don't know, 15 years old, 10. The little boy has been preaching with me since he could just barely talk. I think his first words are pawpaw, and then preaching was about the second word. He loves to preach. I gave him one of my old microphones, and it became one of his favorite toys. He went all over the house with that microphone just preaching when he could hardly even talk. And he loves suits. So this had to be quite a few years back. He thinks suits are for preaching only. When I take him to the department store, he grabs the salesman coat and he says, where's your preaching suits? He thinks that's all they're for. He would come over to my house in a suit to play. I would say, Mark James, why do you have your suit on? In case we preach, Pawpaw, he'd say. One time he came over in a jogging suit and a tie. I said, why do you have on a tie? In case we preach, Pawpaw. Every once in a while, I would take him with me on meetings, and he wanted to dress just like me. So I'd get him dressed, and I'd say, "Now you just sit there and be real still and don't mess up your clothes. Let me get dressed, and the pastor will be here in a little while to pick us up." I'd say, "Now get your sermon ready." He'd have his Bible open, even though he couldn't read, and he'd say, "Paw-paw, are you going to do all the preaching, or do I get to preach too?" He'd get upset if I didn't let him preach before I did. So one morning after a meeting we had in Tulsa, we went to the airport very early to catch a flight back to Dallas-Fort Worth. As we were going through security, Mark James said, "Paw-paw, listen to this. You didn't feed me breakfast, and I'm hungry." I said, "Well, there's a little snack bar just before the gate. We'll have enough time to get you something before we get on the airplane." So we stopped at this little snack bar. There was one table left, and we sat down. There just seemed to be a real nice atmosphere that particular morning. Remember that. Airports are notorious for strife, but it just seemed to be real peaceful there. People seemed to be having a good time. I had him sit down, and I went up to the counter. The lady at the counter watches our television program, and she said hello to me. And I got some orange juice and a muffin for him. We were having a great time. Well, in a little while, two men came walking down the hall telling a dirty joke, very, very loudly. I mean, they were speaking the most foul language I'd ever heard in my life. Eventually, everybody in the airport turned their head to look at these guys. They just didn't have any respect for anybody. Filthy words were coming out of their mouth, and they simply did not care who was listening. They came right up to the snack bar, sat down at the table right next to us, continued to tell their dirty joke. And my grandson could hear it. He could hear everything they were saying, and he's a very impressionable little boy. He picks up on everything he hears, and he repeats it. It made me mad. I mean, I almost forgot who I was and what I was, and I wanted to slap them both real good and then pray for their healing. I mean, it really made me mad. There's a point here. I found out I was totally sanctified, that I wasn't totally sanctified that morning. It just got all over me. But I can't slap them. I mean, the lady at the counter knows who I am. If I slap this guy, then what am I going to tell her? God told me to cast that devil out of him through fivefold ministry. Here's the five, and it's folded. She said, "I can't do that." These two men totally changed the atmosphere in that airport with their filth. I thought, now wait a minute. It was nice here before these two jerks showed up. We've got just as much right to enjoy our breakfast here in a peaceful atmosphere. And I came to a solution. I just said real loud, "Mark James, are you going to help Pawpaw preach tonight when we get to Fort Worth?" He said, "I am." I said, "Have you got your sermon ready?" He said, "I do." I said, "Well, I'd like to hear a sample of it." He does not have any reservations whatsoever. He just thinks you ought to preach everywhere. Here's what he did. He got out of his chair, got in front of the table, looked at everybody in the snack bar, and he hit the table with his fist. Then he said real loud, "People, you need Jesus in your heart, and you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost." You could see the shock on those two guys' faces. Their mouths flew wide open. They got up, and they walked off just as fast as they could. Then Mark James said, "Say amen, somebody." Said he likes that line because of Brother Copeland. And people start clapping for the little guy. A three-year-old changed the atmosphere in the airport. How? With his words. His declaration, really. Now, if he can do that in an airport, then you can do it in your house. Don't tell me it won't work for you. God said, "I want to do something new." And this new thing is he wants to restore everything the devil has stolen. But it's not going to happen to you because it happened to me or because it happened to somebody else. It's going to happen because you get it down on the inside of you to the point that no one can take it away from you. Decree it and keep decreeing it until it comes to pass. Now, I want to go back and point out what Brother Jerry said. When those guys came in and they started saying what they were saying, he said, "It really made me what? Mad." That's a key. Brother Jerry could have tolerated it and said, "Well," he could have grabbed Mark James up, took him out. See the key? You've got some decisions to make. How much longer are you going to let it go on? How much longer? When are you going to get mad? He says, restoration is not automatic. I think we thought Brownie said those words to us. We've repeated them a few little times. We've done it in prayer. Man, we're going to be different about it now. Amen. We're going to be different about it. You know, he said, you have to get it down on the inside of you to the point that no one can take it away from you. And the way you do that is you just start doing it. You read that scripture in Luke 4 and you say, because of Jesus, I can do this. It's not my good works. It's not what it's not I've prayed enough or given enough or done this enough or done that enough. The only reason I can make these declarations is because of Jesus. And when I do, I'm going to be honoring Him. Amen. Don't you know God's going to move? Amen. Because it's His Word. He's a man that He can't lie. And restoration is not automatic. It's going to happen to you when you hear what I heard. I heard God say, son, it's time to get back everything the devil has stolen from you. Start decreeing, restore, restore, restore. And you know what? You don't have to go back and think, okay, it's this and this and this and this. Just let God figure it out. You know, Dusty and I got to do something yesterday, and it was a family time, and it was just, only way I know how to put it, it was a gift from God. But you know what I knew it was? It was restoration. You'll recognize it. You'll recognize it. Now, you can be specific. Do you want to be? But don't get caught up in that. Start decreeing, restore, restore. He said, remember, he said, I don't have anybody saying restore. That's what we read in Isaiah. I don't have anybody saying restore. There, and you know there has to be the restoration of all things before Jesus returns. That's in Hebrew. We'll get to that one, I think, in a minute. But there has to be a restoration of all things before Jesus returns. So do you see the importance? Amen. I mean, you know what? The world don't want much of us right now. And you know why? They're actually, in some cases, doing better than we are. They act like they're happier. They got more money than we have. You see what I'm saying? We got to be something that the world looks at and says, man, tell me about your Jesus. When you know God takes, you know, you've had thousands of dollars stolen from you, and God takes that in a supernatural way and restores that back to you, don't you think that won't catch their eye? Or you need healing in your body, something you've dealt with and whatever, God restores you. That's what it is. It's restoration. He said, I read that and I said, God, I'll be your man. Everywhere I go, every city I preach in, every nation I preach in, I'm going to charge the atmosphere with restoration. See, that's what you're going to do, is change the atmosphere. We're going to change the atmosphere in here, aren't we? Yes. Are we going to change the atmosphere in here? And I've talked to Pastor Todd about this, and he's very much on board. We've had a discussion. He's in fact read this book. That's what you do when you begin to decree it. You change the atmosphere with restoration, praise God. Now listen to this little story. This is about Smith Wigglesworth. He said, many years ago when Smith Wigglesworth came to America, he was preaching in a meeting where there was a number of preachers. Man, I can't imagine doing this. They asked him to come to the service the night before he was to speak. Brother Wigglesworth was sitting in the audience listening to a man preaching total unbelief in religious tradition. Finally, Brother Wigglesworth couldn't stand it anymore. He just stood up, interrupted the man, and of course Wigglesworth had a powerful voice, and he just shouted, stop him, Lord. He's charging the atmosphere with unbelief. The man shut up, sat down, and Brother Wigglesworth took over and changed the atmosphere by preaching words of faith. Consequently, miracles began to happen. We want miracles. Let's change the atmosphere. Change the atmosphere in your home. Change the atmosphere wherever God says, wherever you're at. We need to become very sensitive to the atmosphere, don't we, Gene? We really do. Have you ever gone to someone's home and you didn't know what was going on, but when you walked in, you knew it hadn't been too pleasant in there? The atmosphere talked to you. You know, our granddaughters, when they were younger, used to love to come to our house, and they had a certain bed that they liked to sleep in. They just said, "Oh, we just love sleeping in that bed, Mama." And I thought, honey, it ain't the bed. It's the atmosphere. Because it's the room that I like to spend a lot of time in. So the atmosphere's charged. Notice those words. The first time I read that, the phrase, it stuck in his spirit, charging the atmosphere. That man was charging the atmosphere with unbelief. The Bible says that through faith and understanding God, the world was framed. You frame your own world with the words that you speak. And we've been taught this. I know we've been taught it. But I hope this just brings a difference today. My world is charged with faith, with life, with health, with prosperity, with victory, and with success. Why? Because I charge the air with them. We're in this world, but not of this world. We can frame our world with the words of God coming out of our mouth, and God confirming this with signs following. God said, "I don't have anyone saying restore." And God says, "If they'll do it, I'll do it." You hear that? If you'll do it, He'll do it. Do you need restoration happening in your life? Well, then begin declaring it and give God an opportunity to do it. The book of Acts chapter 3, I said Hebrews, it's the book of Acts chapter 3, we're not going to put this one up, tells us that heaven retains Jesus until all things have been restored. Heaven is retaining Jesus until all things have been restored. So if we believe He is appearing as soon, then this restoration is even sooner than that. These are days of restoration, praise God. God is restoring. He's restoring back to the church everything that Satan has taken out of the church. He says, now you may say, well, I just don't believe that my going around saying restore will do anything. I mean, we probably maybe not said that, but thought that or felt that or whatever. All right, let me ask you this. Have you ever been in a restaurant or some public setting, perhaps you and your family, very comfortable, and then people sat next to you and started using foul language? Did it change the atmosphere? What changed it? Not just their presence, but their words. If it works in the negative, then why not in the positive? Start charging the air with restore. Listen to this. Husbands, you're the high priest and the prophet of your home. You ought to be the family cheerleader. Get them up in the morning and say, all right, family, we're fed up with the devil stealing from us. He's stolen from us the last time. So in the name of Jesus, let's all begin our cheer for the day. Jesus said, be of good cheer, so here's a good cheer. R-E-S-T-O-R-E. What am I spelling? Restore, restore, restore. Amen. Get them all talking, restore. I heard what God was saying, and I began to decree it, and it began to happen, praise God. If the rest of the body of Christ begins decreeing it, then there is no demon in hell that can keep back what has been stolen from us. I think part of this is we got to really realize what's been stolen. We got to really realize we have an enemy, and then we're in a war. I mean, half the church doesn't believe that. They believe God's mad at them, and God did this and did that. But thank God, we don't have to deal with that here. So, I mean, we're one up on that thought, right? Amen. Don't you know somebody that thinks God did whatever? That young girl that died in a car wreck last year, about this time, Christiansburg High School. Carol said she went to the funeral. She knew the family and all. And One past minister was great, and then another one got up and started saying that God needed her and needed this. And I mean, you know, dear Jesus. But thank God we don't have to deal, you know, with that. If the rest of the body of Christ begins decreeing it, then there's no demon in hell that can keep back what has been stolen from us. We are the generation that's going to march in and get it all back. Would you not agree with that?
Yes.
We're the generation, folks, that God wants to use to march in and get it back. At one place in here, he says that the devil has storehouses. Now, I don't quite mentally comprehend that. But he has storehouses of stuff. But you know, he uses people to steal from us. Somebody's got your car that you're supposed to have. I mean, you know. I don't know. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. Look at 2 Kings 7:3. Okay, this is the story about the lepers. Yeah, I need to read this. I'm just going to read it out of this book, okay? Y'all take the time. This is 2 Kings chapter 7. You're familiar with the lepers, but let me read it to you how he puts it. He said, I want you to see how even though what was in the enemy's camp was available to God's people, it didn't happen until somebody got in motion. It was there all the time. It belonged to them, but they never benefited from it until somebody got in motion. This is the scripture. And there were four lepers, leprous men at the entering in of the gate, and they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? Thank you. Notice these were leprous men. They already had three strikes against them. These men are the least likely to be used of God to restore a whole community, its food, and its wealth. The supply lines have been cut off. There's no food in the city. There's no food to be bought. These men are either going to die of leprosy, or they're going to die of starvation, or they're going to die by the sword of the enemy. They have no hope. They know they're going to die one way or the other. But finally, one of them made up his mind, well, if we're going to die, we're not going to just sit here. We're going to die on the move. Why sit here until we die? What did he do? He opened up his mouth, and he changed the atmosphere from no hope as to, well, we're not going to just sit here and die. We're going to move. Now, the question I have for you is, why sit there when God's saying, everything Satan has stolen from you, I will restore? Why are you sitting there? Why go without it if God's saying it's time to get it back? So then we'll continue on in the scripture. The leper said, why sit we here until we die? If we say we'll enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we'll die also. Now, therefore, and let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. If they kill us, we shall die. In other words, they weren't going to just sit there and accept defeat anymore. Go to verse 8. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent, did eat and drink, carried them silver and gold, raiment, and went and hid it. They came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. If you read the entire story, these four leper men got up and started toward the enemy's camp, and through their action, it caused a what? Reaction from God. We're sitting waiting for God to do something sometimes. But through our action, it'll cause a reaction from God. All they did was say, we're not going to sit here anymore and accept defeat. They started walking towards the enemy camp. God responded. What did he do? He amplified the sound of their footsteps, caused the Syrians to hear the sound of a mighty army. And all it was four leprous men. That's what God did. How much more would he do for us because we're under the new covenant? The Syrians were so afraid by what they heard, they didn't even send a scout out. And if they had, they would have seen it's just four leprous men. All they had to do was send a scout. They would see, okay, helpless, homeless men crawling over the hillside. But God amplified the sound, made it sound like a great host, an entire army, and it frightened the enemy so that they fled the camp. And when they got there, They got all the food, all the finances and stuff for everybody. You see what God will do for us? You know, this is a perfect example to put away, and when you're doubting about crying out, restore, 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 you can get this out and you can read this. But it was the right words that they spoke. They took, and the whole city began to rejoice as they took back what the enemy had stolen. The enemy had stolen, four leprous men got it back. Is that not God? I've heard Jerry Savelle say, he will receive a bag of money in a dog's mouth at his door anytime. And so will I. So what's God saying? I'm ready to do something wonderful in your life. I'm ready to store everything the enemy has taken from you. All I need you to do is have listening ears, say what I say, decree it, and establish it, and get it in motion. I'm telling you, there's no demon in hell that can hold back or keep back what's being stolen from you if you'll do what God's saying. It's very important that you don't get the impression that you're going to say it once and that's it. You keep decreeing it. If you'll do what God is saying in Isaiah 42, become something new-minded, then the new thing you'll say when you go to bed at night is restore. Before you go to sleep, thank you, God, for restoration. The first thing you'll think when you get up in the morning, restore. When you talk to the family, you say, these are our days of restoration. That's what this church family, we need to say that to each other. When we come here on Sunday mornings, we're together, we need to say, these are our days of restoration. When you talk to people on the job and somebody says, how's it going? You'll say, restoration, thank you. You know, that's when it gets real down in your heart that you'll do that. Get so restoration-minded that it just flows out of you. Restore, restore, restore. And you just watch. God's going to do something new in your life. In these last days, God will raise up an army of believers that are going to march into Satan's camp, take back everything he's stolen from the church. Begin charging the air with restoration in your home. Get it in your spirit and start shouting it out. And you know, that's what we're doing, like where Operation School Guard is concerned. We're charging the atmosphere, folks. I hope you know that. We're changing the atmosphere in the New River Valley. On the sake of the children. But you know what? It's not the children. All of the atmosphere in the New River Valley is changing because of prayer. And, you know, we brought this in our home, but you can do this for anybody. You've got children. You can see the enemy stealing from them. Okay, you find you a scripture that fits that. One that you can find is the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. And you say, restore, 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 Lord. I'm standing on this word. The seed of the righteous shall be delivered. Restore, restore, restore. You got to get a vision of it. Yes. That as you say that out, you're changing the atmosphere over your kids' lives, or you're changing your atmosphere over your parents' lives or your neighbors or whatever. That's how prayer works. You just send it out. If you combine this with a scripture verse that goes with that, the promise of God in that situation, you know, you take your checkbook and you hold your hand on your checkbook and you take a scripture and you pray over it and you say, God, restore, restore, restore. Restore every penny that's been stolen from me. I mean, let's get aggressive, folks. Don't you want it? You know what I've told God? I said, God, I want that restoration, because we've had money taken from us. But anyway, that restoration. And you know what, God? You know why I want to be so blessed? It's because I like helping people. Amen. I like giving to people. I like giving here. And you know what? It's just a cycle that just keeps on going. You give, you get. I had somebody walk up to me today and says, I don't know why I'm giving you this, but handed me some money. I said, thank you. And I thought, I know why you gave it to me, because I'm talking about restoration today. And that was restoration. All over the place. Webster will say restoration is to bring back to a former or original condition. Okay? God's definition of restore is to make better, improve, increase, and multiply. Y'all, we know that, don't we? Okay, I'm getting ready to close this down here. I wanted to go to one more page. If Satan steals something from you, God's idea of restoration is not to bring you back to former condition, but he's going to make the devil pay, and you're going to wind up improved, better, increased, and multiply. You know, really, we should get so good at this that the devil stops stealing, because he knows it ain't going to do me no good to steal that. Should we not? Wouldn't you like to do that? I think we're heading in that direction. He said the devil, okay, you know what, okay, he said God promises you a return on everything you give, right? Don't we believe that? And he promises a return on everything that's being stolen from you. Wow. A return on everything you give, a return on everything that's stolen. How can we not lose? You cannot lose. Either way, you come out better, improved, increased, and multiplied. Now look at what the devil's been getting away with. The devil steals off of us. We just cry for about a month. We have a pity party, and then we let him get away with it. Been there, done that, got your t-shirt. Then some of us get a little stirred up because we hear a sermon, and we think, I'm coming at you, devil. Now listen to this. This is how we're going. We're stirred up. I'm coming at you, devil. But then we get tired. We finally just say, oh, forget it. One time I was so desperate, I said, God, I'm in a bind here. Do you understand? Forget the hundredfold return. Just match me dollar for dollar. I mean, I could pay my bills if you just match me dollar for dollar for what I've given. Y'all have heard that story, I'm sure, before. He said, we'll deal with the hundredfold later. Well, that's not God's kind of restoration. God restores, and you don't come back to the original condition. God's restoration program is to your favor. That's the reason God wants to stir you up about this. You know what he wants you to do? He wants you to break Satan's bank. Amen. Get it all back. And it's happening. It's happening all over the world. Satan can't hang on to his stuff anymore because it never really belonged to him in the first place. Amen. And then I need to close with this scripture over here. Proverbs 6:30. Men do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. The devil could care less what you've been through to get what you've got, particularly if you got it by faith. He's stealing off of God's kids every moment of the day, and a lot of them haven't done a thing about it. Listen to this. They feel badly, they get offended at God, and they quit going to church. We've got to understand how the enemy works. That's what happens. He was behind all of it. But we get offended at God because something didn't come through like we wanted it to, or as soon as we wanted it to, or something didn't get fixed. Then we quit going to church. He said, when what we want to do is get mad at the devil and tell him, all right, if you steal one of my ox, Buster, you're going to bring back five. You understand? Now, he's talking the devil here. I'm going to hold you to this. You're not getting away with this for another second. Finally, he'll get to where when he passes your house, he has second thoughts about stopping because you beat his brains out with the Word of God every time he steals something off of you. God, open up our eyes to see this. Open up our eyes to see it. We get mad at people, and it's the enemy that's stolen something or, you know, whatever. Then I'm going to read Proverbs 6:30 again and 31. Men do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. But if he be found out, he shall restore sevenfold, and he shall give up all the substance of his house. God said, don't despise if he stole to satisfy his hunger. But if he be found, your outcome will be better, improved, increased, and multiplied. Do you really realize, do you really believe that if the enemy's stolen something from you, he has to return sevenfold? We can probably all quote that. He says, our judiciary system acting on this verse today, we'd have less thieves. What if the law made them pay it back sevenfold and hold them to it until they did it? All right, you stole a car from that family, you're going to repay them seven cars. Wouldn't that change things? there would not be as much stealing going on. Well, what if he doesn't have sevenfold? Then he'll give all the substance of his house. If he can't come up with sevenfold, then you can take everything he's got. I like the sound of this because Satan's a thief and I found him. I'm not ignorant of his devices. I know he's stealing from me. It's the devil. He's a thief. He can be found and we can make him pay sevenfold. Every time you see something being stolen from one of God's people, God gets involved immediately in restoration. But he doesn't bring them back to original condition. He makes it better. And we've said that. There's no need in shedding any more tears over what the devil's stolen, because it's about to come back if you'll demand it. If you'll hold his feet to the fire and get fed up with him from keeping what belongs to you. Hold his feet to the fire and get fed up. The end. I've given you a lot to think about, haven't I? But not only to think about, but to do. And I pray that, as you take this and as you do it, and I mean, there's a lot more in this book. If you want to learn more, you could get the book. But I think I gave you the gist of from devastation to restoration. And I pray that that God causes this to be real, and that we'll use it. And we'll walk in it, and there will be tremendous testimonies. Amen. Do you have something? Okay, just a second. There will be tremendous testimonies, and the words that will be coming out of your mouth in the coming days will be restore. And restoration is in this house. Restore. That's right. Restore. Hallelujah. Restore. Thank you, Jesus. Restore. Hallelujah. Restore. We're taking back what is ours.
Amen.
Through how? The words of our mouth. Restore. Restore. If I were you, I'd go home and, I'd write down things. But you know what God's going to just do? Going to do so much more.
Yes. Amen.
But you can be looking for those things.
That's right.
Be looking for them. Be talking about it.